I would like to divide the shiur into two sections, if possible. Hopefully, I'll begin with Asar B'Teves, which is tonight, tomorrow. And then beyond that, I will address some issues in the parsha. Asar B'Teves is one of the, what is considered to be one of the minor fast days, as opposed to the two major fast days, which as you know are Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, of course, is the Pasuk Chumash, and Asar B'Teves is essentially founded upon a number of tragedies. The Rambam writes, actually, in Hilchos Taniyos, the Rambam tells us that the siege of Yerushalayim began on Asar B'Teves in the Bayis Rishon, in the first Beis Hamikdash. But there are two other events that are also associated with Asar B'Teves. For the Ashkenazim here, who will read the Ashkenazic Slichos tomorrow, so they are clearly indicated, namely, the death of Ezra HaSofer. Ezra HaSofer, who really is, according to Chazal, compared to Moshe Rabbeinu, in terms of what he did, restoring the Koach Torah, he died on Asar B'Teves. And the other, the third event, was the translation of the Torah into Greek, which is discussed in Shulchan Aruch, actually also the Gemara Megillah, which is known as the Septuagint. Sometimes they call it LXX, after the Roman numeral for 70 on the 8th. Together the 8th with the 10th of Teves are referred to in Shulchan Aruch and Megillah's Tainis as Shlosha Yom Shel Choshech, 3 days of darkness. The Gemara Megillah, the Gemara Dartes, and Megillah tells us that Talamai HaMelech, King Talamai, once gathered 72 Skenim and put them in 72 separate rooms and ordered them to translate the Torah into Greek. And miraculously, the 70 translations, 72, are identical. And that's important because the authenticity of the Torah itself was preserved. There were some emendations that were made, actually, in the text, and all the emendations were the same. Of course, that was obviously done with the Yad Hashem that was clearly involved. But the translation itself is really a national tragedy for obvious reasons, because before the translation, any non-Jew who wanted to read and learn Torah had to first learn Lashon HaKodesh, at least some proper methods of Torah study. Once the Septuagint came into being, the Torah was now available to anyone who could misinterpret it and use it for his own devices, and anyone could find fault with the logic of the Torah and challenge it. That's why Chazal compared the Septuagint, the translation of the Torah, to the Cheder Egel, which was, of course, a rather tragic episode. Not only did it cause problems, but also probably led to the birth of a new religion that would plague us and continues to plague us ad yomeinu anu. I'm talking about Christianity. But I'm not going to discuss that because that would require a separate discussion. I want to begin by referring to one of the pizmonim, or the slichot, the Asar B'Teves, that really captures the entire flavor of what it's all about. And then I'll show you a little bit in Tanakh. I Xerox a fair number of psukim in Tanakh, just to read that to you and to more or less overview that. And then, as I said, the second section I'll devote to a discussion on the parsha. The pismo begins, Avosai ki batchu b'shem Elokei Tzuri. Our forefathers, or our forebears, when they had bitachon in Hashem Yisbarach b'shem Elokei Tzuri, Godlu v'hitzichu v'gam masu peri. It's very poetic, as you can see. When they subscribe to Hashem, when they believe in Hashem and subscribe to Hashem, so we had hatzlacha. We were essentially prosperous. We were fruitful. Umeisu dachu, but what happened? The moment we decided to move in a different direction, v'hochu imo keri, of course, it's based on the psukim in Parshat Bechukosai, and the Rambam writes also in Hilchos Taniyos. There's a big machlokes of Rishonim in what keri refers to, but the Rambam says, if one does not see the Yad Hashem in Jewish history, and one interprets things as historians do, secular historians, cause and effect and the like, but without seeing the Yad Hashem who's directing traffic, then hu dachu. Then, of course, Klal Yisrael is going to be in serious, straitened circumstances. S-T-R-A-I-T-S-E-N-E-D. Straits. Straitened circumstances. Straits of Magellan. La'abdil. V'ochim mokeri. So then he goes on to describe in this Pismon all the different events that occurred on Asar B'Teves that were rather tragic in nature that I described earlier. So what I'm going to do is just a little bit of Tanakh, if you don't mind, and just giving you some backdrop to Asar B'Teves. Now this is Tanakh that's found in Divrei Hayomim. It doesn't seem to be a very popular sefer necessarily, although it happens to be a gorgeous sefer from every perspective, and those who have an interest in this should quickly visit Harav Wittenstein Shlita, who is very into Tanakh. He's literally holding everywhere, and also holding in Jewish history, and in Shas, and a few other things along the way. So, in Perek Yudalit of Divrei Hayomim Beis, the second chapter of Divrei Hayomim, so there's a discussion about Asa Melech Yehuda. If you're undoubtedly aware of a little bit of Jewish history, Malchus Yisrael was divided into two, and Malchus Yehuda, Malchus Yisrael, the first king actually was Rechavam, the second I believe was Abiyam, and the third king was Asa Melech Yehuda. He's among the Tzadikim of Malchus Yehuda. Malchus Yehuda generally were better than Malchus Yisrael, this is Yadua, when you cover Tanakh, and Asa is mentioned in Tanakh in a very positive kind of way, and during his reign, so the Navi describes there was a milchama that broke out. The Kushim came along against Klal Yisrael, and they had clearly thousands of soldiers. And here, what does Asa do? The pasuk tells us exactly what Asa did. I'll read you a bit of the pasuk. The Navi tells us in Divrei Hayomim, I'm reading Divrei Hayomim Beis, Perek Yudalim. It describes the army of Asa Melech Yehuda, and then it tells us that essentially what did he do? He asked Hashem, Ozreinu, Hashem, Ozreinu, ki alecha nishanu. I'm relying on you, Hashem is brach completely. Vayikra Asa l'Hashem Elokav, vayomar Hashem, einim kol azor, bein rav lein koach, Ozreinu Hashem Elokeinu, ki alecha nishanu, uvishim chobonu, and what happened? Vayigof Hashem et akushim. Didn't they, Asa? Essentially, they were completely and totally, the English translation that I have in front of me, I think the better translation would be, he was fashmetered. How would you translate it to English? It's a Yiddish expression. Essentially, he was trounced. Pulverized. So that is the first king that is described over here. And then, there's another Muhammad during the days of Asa. It's also found here in Divrei Hayomim. In the next parak, with Basha. Because again, we have, if you remember, Basha is Malach Yisrael. He's the third king, actually, of Malach Yisrael. First you have Yerobam, then you have Nadav, and then you have Basha. And he was the one responsible for destroying the house of Yerobam. And he took over the reign. And the 36th year of Asa, here we have a description of what happened as well. Again, we're talking about the Melech Aram is told to attack Basha, and the Melech Aram has a great cheshek. He takes the shochet, he destroys the army of Basha, and then the Navi comes Hanani, and indicates that in the Mechemes HaKushim, the previous war, you relied on Hashem, and then we had a great Nitzachem. And now what do? You decide to go ahead and invoke, or ask Aram, a non-Jewish nation, a non-Jewish army, to go and help you, and you should know that from now on, you're going to be involved in ongoing skirmishes with Aram. And that's what the Navi here describes as well, at great, great length. I'm not going to go through the Psukim, but essentially what I'm telling you is, I'm not going to read all the Psukim with all the different Muhammads that I wrote down for myself, but the rule of thumb is pretty clear, that to the extent that we relied on Hashem Yisbarach, we were victorious. To the extent that we did not rely on Hashem Yisbarach, then we had terrible downfalls, and this is throughout Tanakh, and I'm just reading here Psukim from Divrei Hayomim, and until we get to Yoshiyahu, and Tzidkiyahu, again, we're not so familiar with them because we don't learn enough Tanakh, which we should do. Just to mention, since we're in the process, there are people I see who are learning Daf Yomi. There's a Gemara in Brachos in the fourth parak. I don't think you got there yet. Maybe those who are who know Daf Glot perhaps got there. But anyway, the Minu Bnechem and Aigoyom, that it says in the Gemara that you should don't become involved in Haigoyom. So Rashi says, Al Tagilim B'mikra Yosef Bidai, Lashon Rashi in the fourth parak of Brachos. Don't learn too much of Tanakh. But Tanakh you have to learn. Chavdal Svarim. Every Talmud Chacham has to be Mikusha V'Chavdal Kishutim. So that's 24 Svarim of Tanakh. All of us have to know them. It's Kedai every day to learn Tanakh. But anyway, you see from the Sukkim over here, Tanakh over here very clearly that to the extent that we are committed to Hashem Yisbarach, so the Ribbono Shalom unquestionably gives us Siyata Dishmaya, and Rachman Litzlan, when we desert and abandon Hashem, then of course we are in a heap of sorrows and the like. And that's essentially what the Kimat, I don't have to really quote Sukkim in Tanakh. You are familiar with them when we say, V'hayim Shema Atishmano Mitzvosai. The Pasuk says very clearly in Kriyat Shema that if Chas V'Sholom we abandon Hashem, then V'chorap Hashem Bachem, and the results will be catastrophic. Yatzar HaShemayim V'yamotor V'adom L'Sitin Esibula V'avad Tem Eira. So Asar B'Tevis very much so reflects this idea, and that's really this very beautiful pismon that I did not read for you. I only read the opening line of the pismon, which more or less captures or epitomizes and very beautifully this idea of this Yisod. And then it goes on, as I said, to describe all the different events that occurred on Asar B'Tevis that I alluded to earlier. Okay, that's my way of introduction. And now I want to connect this with the Parsha of this coming week, which of course is Parshas Vayechi. And I want to describe basically, first I'll just mention by way of Hakdama, some famous Tukim that you are familiar with. In Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Yosef el Achav, Ani Yosef ha'od avi chai. Yosef identifies himself to his brothers, and V'lo yochul echol lanos oson ki nivelo mipono. They were not able to, they were so astounded by this revelation, the part of Yosef, that the Torah tells us they couldn't respond. They were congealed. Now we know that earlier they couldn't speak with Yosef, the Pasuk says earlier, because Vayisnu also, because they hated him. After the dreams of Yosef, we remember earlier on, that Yosef had several dreams, and the Torah describes the sinna, the hatred that the brothers had for Yosef, and the kina, when he continued to dream, by kanu ba'echav, so they weren't able to speak to him. But now, it wasn't because of sinna, but Rashi comments in Perek Mem Hei, machna sabusha, right? They were just embarrassed. They were absolutely and totally astounded by what happened. So Chazal say, this is a very famous Chazal, oy lonu miyom adin, oy lonu miyom atochacha. Woe is to us, but we're going to have to face the music after 120 years. And Chazal continued. Yosef, Tanon Shel Shvatim Hayah. Yosef was the smallest of all the Shvatim. Below you, Yecholim Lama B'Tochachto, and the brothers are not able to handle his Tochacha. Shenema, where's the Tochacha? So Chazal sees the Tochacha, the Musa that he gave them in this Pasuk. Below Yochel Echel Lanos Oso Kinev Alu B'Panav. They simply were confounded. They simply were totally baffled and could not respond, says the Chazal. The Shiyova Kodesh Baruch Hu Yochia Kolecha V'Echad Levi Mashu. When Hashem comes and gives each one of us Tochacha, Shenema, Pasuk in Tehillim, Ochichacha Be'ercha Be'enecha, Achaz Kama V'Kama. Then suddenly we're going to be in a terrible situation when Hashem gives each individual Jew Tochacha Lasid Lobo. So the question, of course, that's asked by all the Mefarshim, where's the Tochacha? Where's the rebuke? Where's the Musa that was given by Yosef? Yosef said, Ani Yosef. And he adds three more words. Ha'od Avichai. Is my father still living? Where's the Tochacha? And in general, there's another question. What is the nature of the language that Yosef utilizes? Ha'od Avichai. Didn't Yehuda, just a few moments ago, told Yosef that Yaakov is alive? What's he asking? Ha'od Avichai? So I'm going to first mention the Beis Halevi, a very famous Beis Halevi. One of the most famous Beis Halevis, Rabbi Beis Halevi, is Rabbi Yosef Ber Soloveitchik, the great-grandfather of Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal. He's named after him. Beis Halevi was a fascinating personality. I don't know how much you know about him. There's a very beautiful biography written about him a fair number of years ago, several decades ago. And the biography describes the stormy kind of life that he lived. He was a very volatile personality, a great gon and great tzaddik, and as Soloveitchik said, he did not know how to do an Avera. What was the nature of his problem? He did not do an Avera. His Yirat Shamayim was coming out of every pore of his body. He was, the Rav described him a number of times, Beis Halevi, in unbelievable terms, especially he mentioned once in the context of Erev Pesach, already Chodesh Nisan, he was frightened about, is he going to have matzah? that will not be problematic. Will he be over on the Isur of Chametz? And of course, if you went to his Seder, it was markedly different than the Seder of the Netziv. It was also in the Mishpacha of Rav Soloveitchik. Namely, the Netziv somehow had matzah at his Seder that was absolutely with a tremendous tam, and it looked like a piece of matzah. And the Seder was very joyous, very festive. They were singing, and they were carrying the mitzvah Sibir Tzias Mitzrayim. And they somehow were able to get before Chatzos to the meal. And at the Avikoman, everything was in order. You went to the Beis Halevi Seder. Wow. It was a totally different Seder. The matzah came in front of you. It was black. Jejun. Insipid. Tasteless. Charred. Because Chas V'Shalom, there might be some, who knows what, some perhaps, some neficha, which would invalidate it as matzah if there was a piece of dough. A milliliter of dough that was not baked properly. The Beis Halevi was concerned about that. And then he stayed there. He was worried about being the kind of mitzvah see which he has to sign properly. So they just went on and on and on. And guess what? If you came to his Seder, you heard Kiddush, and you were Mekai in the first two cases, you didn't get any meal at all. What meal? You were busy Mekai in the Sibir Tzias Mitzrayim. Kol HaLayla, Chatzos came, you had the Afikoyman, and it's all over. Rav Soloveitchik asked us, which Seder do you think is my Seder? I didn't want to answer the question. But anyway, so the Beis Halevi says, try this Chazal, the following pshat. What was the Teichacha? Tachacha was very, very penetrating. Because Yosef basically showed his brothers that they were hypocrites. Their behavior was not only paradoxical, but contradictory. A moment before, you, Yehuda, issued a lengthy peroration, a lengthy monologue, where he spoke about Rachmanis on an elderly father who's going to die if Binyamin doesn't come back. If you remember the psukim. Yehuda said, that's what Yehuda said. If that's the case, when you sold me to Egypt, why weren't you concerned about your elderly father? That's what he was saying to them. Is my father still alive? After all the tsar that you essentially caused him? And of course, what was their response? There was no response. Eventually, what did he do exactly, said the Beis Halevi? He showed their own behavior was completely and totally an oxymoron. Contradictory from beginning to end. The biggest stira, the biggest kasha. And then the Beis Halevi goes on to explain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come after each one of us. And he will say, you didn't give tzedakah. Why not? How can I get tzedakah? I had to take an ocean liner cruise on the Caribbean because I wanted to see the handiwork of the Bari Eila, the majesty of Hashem's creation. I didn't get tzedakah because I needed a Tesla.
Tesla.
Is that what they call it?
It's a
Kamatz. Tesla, thank you. Tes, Samach, Lamed, with a Kamatz and a Lamed. I didn't send my kids to a frum school or send my post-high school young man, young woman to a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. I couldn't afford it. But I have five cars in my garage. How could I not have five cars? Lamborghini, Tesla, Lexus. I don't know much else about cars. And they'll show you all the stereos in your life. And then you will be in, as they say, Hesa Wasa. That's called hot water. You are a phony, baloney, hypocrite. And they'll tell it to your face without any difficulty. I am very polite, so I don't operate that way. Not really. I follow the Eibishter. Mahu hafata. That's a Gemara Tzaita, Daf Yudalit. What can I do? I have no choice. Imitatio Dei. Those in the fancy academic circles of some people who study here in very academic halls are familiar with that. Mahu hafata. Says the Beis Halevi, that was the Techocha given to Yehuda and his brothers by Yosef. Wow. Of course they were astounded. What could they say? But now I want to more or less discuss the approach of the Svarno to this entire discussion. The Svarno is one of the beautiful Mefarshim from Italy, an Italian, great Italian giant. They used to learn the Svarno more often, but somehow over the years, Svarno has become somewhat neglected. I think they have, I don't know if the Svarno was translated into English, someone told me yes, so that's good. It gives you an opportunity to learn the Svarno. The Svarno answers when the language of the Pasuk is Ha'oda b'chai. It's not a question of clarifying what's happening, but rather it's a question of what he says to Mia. Yosef is astounded. Ha'oda b'chai? How could he possibly not be dead because he's so worried, anxiety, and stressed out over my situation? Similar to the Beis Halevi. And as a matter of fact, if you look among the Mefarshim, you'll see different Mahalchim, but very similar to the Beis Halevi. The Svarno in this respect is similar, but I want to continue. And the issue I want to raise is an issue that is raised by many, many Mefarshim, and one that's very difficult. And the issue, of course, is how is it possible that the brothers, who are known to be great tzaddikim, somehow they weren't sensitive to their own father? How is that possible? How do we understand that? In order to answer this kasha, so we have to appreciate, first of all, whom we're talking about. We're talking about great tzaddikim, and we don't really know of the level of these incredible tzaddikim. I'm about to say something that I probably shouldn't say, but usually whenever that happens, I end up saying it. I won't mention the name of the people involved. Maybe they'll save face that way. I know a number of Gedolei Yisrael, and Baruch Hashem, I've been zochet to meet a number of Gedolei Yisrael in my lifetime. And even Gedolei Yisrael, they're not all their children are namely of the same, cut of the same cloth. Some of them are not necessarily completely in the mode of their parents. So I'm once at a conference, at a rabbinic conference of Rabbonim, and there was one Gadol that was there, and this Gadol said a shir, very beautiful shir, and then there was question and answer, and then some, I call him chutzpan, some upstart, asked this Gadol, how is it that one of your children went off the derech? This Gadol was astounded. Most of his children are in a certain world, Dati Lumi world. How do we translate that? They're in the religious Zionist world, which is a fine world. A lot of wonderful people there. And one of his children is in the Haredi world. So this Rav, publicly, in front of 700 Rabbanim, and I was present, asks this Adam Gadol, how come your child went off the derech? B'zalosh. He moves to the Haredi world. This Gadol was so astounded by this question, Kimat started crying, and then he said the following, Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Berurim, Kulam Giberim, Kulam Eisim V'Eimo V'Yira V'Tzen Kaina. That was his answer. That was astounding. Some of you may know who I'm talking about, but I won't mention it because I don't think it's a proper thing to do. I was astounded by both the questioner. Essentially, to the questioner, I wanted to go over him and just pulverize him. And I said what I would do with him is I would probably, in a nice way, of course, I would simply have 12 pieces of him sent to all the Shiftei Yisrael. But I didn't do that because I'm a very polite person. I'm an Orthodox Jew. I'm an observant Jew. And I think the Torah says something about Lo Sirtzach, and not to be Mazik, Lo Sachbol, and a few other things. But I had in me the desire to do such a thing. But I controlled my Yetzer Hara. I saw you in my mind's eye, like Yosef HaTzadik, the Gemara in Sefer. He saw his father, before Yosef Paitifah, and as a result, he was able to withhold himself. The real truth is, several Rabbanim had to hold me down. But what was even more astounding was the response of this Gadol, the tears. Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Brurim, Kulam Giburim, Kulam Aisim V'Eim Abiyir Otsayim Kanya. And the truth is that all of them are carrying out the Ratzon of Hashem, each one in their own way. Habish Shulchan Lamakom, that's a very important lesson to know, that there's not one derech. We spoke about this earlier. There are many drachim. Habishluchan Lamakom, and we have to learn to be respectful of all different types of wonderful, wonderful members of Klal Yisrael. Sfardim, Ashkenazim, Moroccans, Taimanim, Australians, Persians. Who else? And even some Litvaks. Anyway, so now the question is, we know the Kohen Gadol carries on his Sefayim all the names of the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael, and he remembers their Sitkis. I think Rashi said that in Shemos, if I'm not mistaken. So now the question is, what's going on here? Here we have in front of us a machlokes, a terrible machlokes between Yosef and his brother, Sinas Chinam, ad today, where they're going to kill a brother, Biata L'chuvin Argeyu, let's go and kill him. What is going on here? How can you possibly explain this? Once someone came into one of my, I was in a shul, and someone asked, what's the minhag about a certain thing? So I was not the rabbi of that shul, but happened to be davening there. I said, the minhag is machlokes. That's the minhag in Klal Yisrael. Whatever issue comes to the fore, machlokes. Means achiluk and minhagim. That's what I meant, but he understood it somewhat differently. But here, this is an absolute tragedy. What happened regarding the brothers of Yosef? So we don't understand it. How do you explain it? And the Sforno asked the Kasha in the following way. This is the Sforno Paraklam Zayin Pasuk Yudches. Asked the Sforno, how could they possibly consider killing their brother or selling him? And the answer is, said the Sforno, he had a din reidef. You know what a reidef is? The Gemara in Sanhedrin. The halach is that someone who comes to kill me, habala hargicha, ashkiva hargo. I think I told you this already. I'm sure I told you this. I don't have enough time for all this. But when I was on the train once in New York City, and I'm sitting there learning chumash, and minding my own behavior, all of a sudden a guy comes with the next car, and he comes with a butcher knife with blood on the butcher knife. So what did I say to myself? I said, wow, we got a whole group of chevra here. We're going to do what we're supposed to do with this guy. We'll make him into cholent. No problem. But before I know it, the entire car is in a state of panic. People are just running to the next car. I don't know if you're familiar with New York trains. I hope you all become familiar with them. But anyway, so people are running to the next car and it's just total panic. So I said to myself, well, I'm not going to be the lone good Samaritan over here. I don't think that's a healthy thing. And I quickly skedaddled out of there also. However, before I knew it, someone pulled the emergency cord and it was pitch black. So I said, Gewaldig! Wow, what could be better over here? There was total pandemonium. You can't be massive what's going on there. But I said to myself, I can't understand it. We have hundreds of people. We could take this guy, mamish, and we could go and, as I said, make him into a piece of dough for challah, and then we could do something. I'm cholent. We could make him into a piece of cholent without difficulty. What was the problem? What? He had a knife, that is true, like a butcher knife. No, a nice long one. Anyway, Yosef, his brothers say he has a din reidef. What's a din reidef? Habal argecha, ashkev arga. Someone comes to kill you, God forbid. What are you supposed to do? You kill him first. That's a din shechol arach. That's a gemara. And that's what the Sfarno explains. The brothers thought that Yosef had a din reidef. Why? Because he was in effect somehow. He had some machshava in his head. We know from the very beginning, Vayava Yosef is the Basim Royal Aviyam, the very beginning of this entire discussion. And here's what the Sfarno seems to suggest. Namely, only one person is going to inherit Eretz Yisrael. Because they were aware of what happened before Yosef appeared on the scene. Avraham Avinu had several children. And who is chosen to inherit Eretz Yisrael? Who's the mamshich of Avraham Avinu? Yitzchak. But he had others, Yishmael, B'nai Keturah, what happened to them? They were apparently diverted from the course. Next door, exactly the same thing. Two children of Yitzchak, who inherits Eretz Yisrael? Yaakov Avinu, he's the Mamshech. Esav, Nitche. Of course, Esav is crying. Habracha achasim lechavi. But there's nothing left for me. Barchein gamoni avi. Vayisa Esav is kol vayeh. He was busy crying, but it didn't help him. Yaakov got Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov became the ultimate individual that the spiritual legacy of Avraham Avinu was bequeathed to him. And to Esav, what does he say about him? V'yasochicha ta'avod. So the brothers of Yosef thought, Yosef has a similar idea in mind. He's going to go ahead, he'll get the Yerusha from Yaakov Avinu, and they will be left high and dry. This is a Sforno's interpretation, rather unique and distinctive interpretation of what's going on over there. And at best, what will the brothers be to Yosef? Avodim. They'll be servants to him. So what's the din of Erodev is very clear. First of all, Yosef started at the very outset. Vayavi Yosef zibasam royal abiyim. At the very beginning. But of course, Yosef's intention was not lirdof. He wasn't the Erodev. It was the tovasam. Yosef thought that the brothers ate Ephraim and Achai. They're doing other averas, what Rashi quotes, and the Sitzach Chamim. And Yosef told his father, not because he wanted to be a Erodev, in order that Yaakov is a Nabi, Yaakov is a father, one the Dali Ador, should be Mechanich them, and on and on and on. But the question is, how could his brothers possibly dam Yosef the Misa? Because they were Nogia Bedavar, they're Krovi Mishpacha, there's consanguinity. They are Pasul Eidos. How could they be dam Yosef? You want to give a little pilpul here, if you don't mind. So, the Chazanish writes in the Sefer Emunah Bitochom that says something very fascinating, that sometimes avas ha'emes, the person is pursuing the truth, that's above any negia. But the Chazanish says that's only when it comes to psak halacha. Let's say, is an animal treif, an animal not treif? So then, what do we say? I can paskin myself whether an animal is treif or not. I'm not worried I'm going to distort the din because I'm going to lose money or something along those lines. But however, when it comes to din amamnes, din nefashis, so here, there's negia. So the Torah says, ki ashochad yaver inei chachamim. Bisala divrei tzadikim. And the negia can cause a person not to see things objectively. And now the question is that over here, what is the situation over here? How could they be dan Yosef when they are no negia bedavar? So of course the answer is, they weren't dan Yosef in a regular situation of din nefashis. They said he had a din rodef. By rodef, is there a psul of Nogea? Is there a psul of Karov? No. There's no psul of Karov by a Rodev. There's no psul of Negia by a Rodev. Each person, anyone who sees someone running after someone else, and you're in a position to go and save the individual who's the Nirdaf, then you're mechuyev to go ahead and kill the Rodev. And even you're Nogea Bedavar. If I see A running after B with a gun or whatever it may be, you're allowed to go ahead and kill him, if assuming you're not able to disable him or do something else which would put him out of commission, but not kill him. But if you can't do that, then you kill him, if necessary. And so apparently, the brothers were allowed to be dan Yosef the Misa, even though they were Krovi Mishpacha, even though they're no Gabadavar. And this explains a number of other questions that let me just mention the questions, if you don't mind. There's a question Rishonim asked, Pasuk here in Bereishis, Perek Lamed Zayin. When they threw him into the bar, what happened, you remember? Vayeshu lecho lechem, they went and had a nice seuda. But the Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Sanhok Yimel that Sanhedrin that kills a nefesh, they're not allowed to eat that day. Learn that from the pasuk by Slecha Adam. Chazal learned out a lot of things from that pasuk. It's a lapsha b'cholos. One of the surim is you're not supposed to go ahead and when a person is God forbid nidon the misa, you're not supposed to eat. So how could they sit down and have a repast after they've done Yosef the misa and they threw him into bar in order to kill him? But the answer, of course, is pashut. By Rodef, this din is not relevant. This halacha is not operative. The din of not eating lach harigaso. If someone decides the Torah rodev, you're going to kill the rodev. There's no isa lecho on that day. And in general, nacha kasha. There are a whole bunch of kashas. I'm not going to just means basically a rodev is a separate halacha, a separate din. But I'm just now coming back to what I wanted to talk about. That how in heaven's name did the brothers make such an egregious error? Misjudging, miscalculating, not understanding what Yosef had in mind, when really he had in mind Tovasam. And the answer, of course, is the Torah tells us that their toes came about because of what? Jealousy. Vayiru Echav over there, he also have Avim, he called Echav Vayisnu also. If not for that kina, they would not have come to this kind of error. They wouldn't have thought that Yosef was a Rodef. They would have come to a proper understanding that Yosef has in mind. good, he has good intentions in mind. And if he has a mistake regarding Ibn Achai, it's possible to argue with him, to debate with him. You can show him that he's not correct, but not to throw him into a bore. But what caused this? The kina and sinna that was generated by their thinking, and that's what they themselves already earlier on, they were trying to figure out why is this happening to them, all that occurred, and they say the following lashon, if you remember, Aval Hashemim anachnu alachino, asher ra'inu tzaras nafsho, v'yizkadunu avedenu v'lo shamanu. I mean, they knew they treated him in a cruel kind of way, and we shouldn't have thrown him into the bar, but they did at that point in time, and then he was screaming, what are you doing? And now, when he says, Ani Yosef, ha'oda b'choy, they realize their mistake was one of such enormity. The mistake they made was so great, oy lanu miyom adin, oy lanu miyom atochacha. And at the end, what does Yosef say? Yosef did not take revenge, even though he writes, that's what the pasuk writes rather, Ani Yosef achichem Hashem echadim osi mitzroima. It's not that he forgot. He didn't forget what they did. Clearly it was in his head. It was in his mind. It was in his heart the entire time. But the fact that he could have taken revenge and did not do so, that's the greatness of Yosef. And the reason why he did not do so, he himself expresses it very clearly. Namely, because how did he get there? And how did he come down to Mitzrayim? It was all Yad Hashem. Yad Hashem that was operating behind the scenes, starting all the way from Kiger Yazacha Be'eretz Lavahem, Ba'avodim Vino, Samar Abame Yoshana, what Rashi quotes over there, Meitza Amuka Shaloso Tzadik Akavim Bechevro. Hashem already had a plan that was set down, and that plan now began to evolve, began to unfold over a period of time, till Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim. Yosef becomes the, Yosef earlier became the Mishnah of Melech Mitzrayim, but all this was in order that Klal Yisrael ultimately should go down to Mitzrayim, but it was the Yeridah L'tzorach Aliyah, the way the Ramban describes here in Vayigash, one of the most famous Rambans, that they went down in order to ultimately ascend and come to Har Sinai and receive the Torah and become Klal Yisrael. So wow, what a plan that Hashem is Baruch had, that the average human being is not capable of seeing, B'chlal, because our vision is very limited. And Yosef himself told them that Shlachani Elokim Lifneichem, Hashem is the one who sent me here, Lasum Lachem, in order to give you an opportunity to be able to maintain yourself, Ulach Yoslachem, Lusleit Gedola, V'ato Lo Atem Shlachnem Osi Enoki Elokim, V'yisimenu Lo'ov V'faro Lo'adon V'cholbeso, U'moshe V'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. It was all the Yad Hashem at work that Yosef saw, but they did not see that because of the kina and the sinna, and that's what the Medrash that I began with tells us, Oy Lanu Miyom Adin, all of us have to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. Shabura writes, he calls him Musa Sarim, every night, by Kriyash Malamita, a person should make a cheshbon ha-nefesh of what happened during the day, how they treated others, how he interacted with others, did I behave properly, did I not behave properly, and obviously, want to do tshuva as soon as one can. I want to mention a chiddush, which is probably not so well known, regarding Asara B'Teves. What happened in Asara B'Teves? I mentioned three things, but one of the main item, probably the main one, is the fact that there's a siege in Yerushalayim and Bayis Rishon, and that's why it was Nikvaz Yom HaTainis in Yecheskel, Perech Avdala Pasuk Beis. The Navi says, Ben Adam, Hashem tells him, Ksavacha Eshem Hayom, Es Etzem Hayom Hazeh, Samach Melech Bavel Yerushalayim Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. You can see there's an expression that comes up again and again. The word Hayom is mentioned, recurs many times, Etzem Hayom Hazeh. So there's one of the great Rishonim, the Abu Droham. He says a tremendous Chiddush in Asar B'Tevis. He says that if Asar B'Tevis would be Chal on Shabbos, we would fast even on Shabbos. And we would not be able to defer the Tainus to another day. Why? Because what does it say in the Pasuk? Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Similar to what other day does it say Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh?
Yom Kippur.
And wow, just like Yom Kippur is Doche Shabbos, so too Tainus Asar B'Tevis is Doche Shabbos. And there's a very, very famous Rab Chaim Riske on this Abu Dhab. That's what I heard from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal a number of times. Rab Chaim Riske added the following. It's found actually in the Chiddush Agrach al Hashas in Simin Mem Dalit. For those who want to see it inside, Rab Chaim said the following. What is the reason that the Abu Dhab is correct? He says something fascinating, because in Zechariah Peraches, in Gemara Shoshana, Peraches Pasuk Yutes, in Zechariah, all the other fast days are totally on what? On the month. How does the Navi describe the other fast days? Tzom Harvi, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaAsiri. We're referring to the months of the year. However, Those are obviously determined by Chodesh HaChamishi, Chodesh HaShvi. Doesn't make a difference what day in the month. But by Sarav Teves, what is the determining factor? The Yom, not the Chodesh. The Rabbi says, Tzov Necho, Eshem Hayom, Es Etzim Hayom Hazeh. And therefore, you cannot possibly be Doche the Tzom to a different day. That's what Chaim Briska comments on this Abu Dram. Even Vitzchal on Shabbos, it happens to be that the Rambam does not pass it like that. The Rambam is Chodek on this Abu Dram. The Rambam says that if the Tzom, Asir B'Tev Vitzchal on Shabbos, we're Doche the Tainus for the following day. But according to Abu Dram, he indicates otherwise. And the reason why I'm stressing this is because that basically, once the siege of Yerushalayim began, so you can take a look in Tanakh, and you see how Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and this is the prokim in the Perek Lamed Ches, and on, the Navi goes on, and essentially tells us there was one thing that would have prevented the Churban from happening. Yirmiyahu HaNavi gives Tochacha to Tzidkiyahu, Pam Achar Pam, he tells him, go and essentially be Nichnad LeMelech Babel. Had he listened to him, the Migdash would not have been Nechrav. Tzidkiyahu does not listen to him, and as a result, the Migdash was Nechrav, the Churban HaMigdash occurred. And that's essentially the lesson, a very important Yisod, really, not just the Yisod of Asarah B'Teves, but it's the Yisod of everything that Klal Yisrael, of what we're all about. Namely, that Yad Hashem is critical, and Yad Hashem is essentially that which governs our lives, and those who have, those who see what's happening in Jewish history, I've mentioned this already a number of times, but for the alumni, many young people ask me over the years, how do I know that God exists? So I'm quite familiar with all the philosophic proofs of existence of God. I spent a fair amount of time in my life exploring those proofs, and each one can be refuted philosophically, but I told one Shana Aleph student last year, you know the reason that I know that God exists? Because Trump was elected president of the United States. Now, I'll be honest, I didn't vote for Trump. I couldn't do it. I heard him speak before the election, 4 years ago. I said to myself, this guy is not operating with a full deck. I just couldn't handle it. I can't vote for someone who is, in Canadian terms, Looney Tunes, to sit in the White House. I couldn't do it. So the first time in all my years in Eretz Yisrael, I didn't vote for the presidential election. Trust me, in 2020, I'll be voting. I'll be the first online for Trump. First online! Because what he's done the last 4 years with all of his lunacy, Iran. You are aware of what's happening. I assume you are familiar with this gentleman, that Baruch Hashem, we fulfilled the pasuk, Ken Yevdu Kol Oyvecha Hashem. Soleimani. Avi, you know that chap? He's killed hundreds of Americans and who knows what other terror he wrought in the last, who knows how many years, the last several decades. He was just killed. And now they had a massive Leviathan today and Hespedim. Unbelievable Hespedim of the tzidkis and the godless of this individual. And of course they threatened us. Obviously, even though the United States was responsible, it's clear that ultimately, who's responsible? Klal Yisrael. We're the ones who did it. They're going to attack Haifa, and they're going to attack Tel Aviv, and they're going after us with all their whatever nuclear weaponry they've developed and the like. Nothing has changed in Jewish history. Unfortunately and tragically, we continue to be surrounded by enemies. And even though there's no question that anyone here, certainly all of us want shalom, want peace, and those of us who live in Eretz Yisrael certainly want peace. And just look around what's happening in the world. I'm talking about anti-Semitism in Crown Heights. Wow. In America, in Europe, in Belgium, in France. Mind-boggling what's happening. It's Ikvasa de Mashiach. And one actually who has a good sense of history sees also something else. And that to me is amazing. The last 100 years of history, Jewish history included obviously, has been so frenetic, so much has happened. I see Mishnayis and Saita coming to fruition. I see the Yad Hashem at work, bringing about the course of Mashiach, just as the Ribbono Shel Olam as Chazal comment in the context of Yaakov Avinu, you remember when Yosef is sold, the brothers are upset with Yehuda, Bayered Yehuda Meisecha, so Chazal have a famous medrash. Everyone was doing their own thing. Ruvain Asuk Misako Betaniso. Yehuda becomes a businessman. Yosef, poor Yosef, is now descending into a dungeon, the dungeon of Egypt. And what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oisek Be'eros Shal Mashiach. Baruch Shalom, in his panoramic vision, is busy preparing, paving the way for Mashiach. And that's what I see right in front of me right now. And I have a good vantage point. I'm living in Eretz Yisrael. We're right in the center. Literally. We're in the epicenter of everything that's happening. And Trump, Iran, the embassy, Golan Heights. What a wonderful president you have. I'm referring to the two Kohanim Gedolim sitting in the back. And even though there's so much craziness, someone showed me the other day that he's Mekayim HaPosuk. Not Midbar Sheker Tirchok. Adraba. Mitzaseh Mishaker. There's a mitzvah to lie. They showed me all the lies that he's issued. I don't know how many lies he's issued. Yes, no, I don't follow that Mahalach. But there's no question that Yibon Hashem planted him to help Klal Yisrael. It's amazing. I heard all of his grandchildren are Jewish. Pilei Ploya. What?
Not for long.
Not for long, okay. That I can't attest to, but I see here the Yad Hashem at work in Jewish history, and I see the Yad Hashem here in Eretz Yisrael, and I see the Yad Hashem Bichlal, and that's exactly what Asara B'Teves is all about. So one lesson that we should take with us, and I'll end the way I began. Avosai ki botchu b'shem elokei tzuri. When we have bitochim Hashem Yisbarach, and we see the Yad Hashem in front of us, Govu v'itzlichu v'gam asu peri, we'll have atzlocha. But the moment we somehow forget about the Yad Hashem and don't see Him direct in the course of history, holchu imo keri, then hudochu, and the achmanu litzlan, the results could be catastrophic. So all of you are in a very beautiful position. You're all Baruch Hashem, budding B'nai Torah. We have here some Talmidei Chachamim. We have alumni who are outstanding. I'm slightly biased, only slightly. We have alumni who are outstanding and Baruch Hashem have grown tremendously. I've observed them over the years. They came, Shana Aleph, and now I don't know, are these the same people that I saw in Shana Aleph? Of course not. They have become outstanding B'nai Torah, budding Talmidei Chachamim, in all they're doing, in their interaction with the world at large, in their professional endeavor, but ultimately they're anchored in Torah and Yer Shamayim, and they see the Yad Hashem, and they all come back here to Eretz Yisrael to give us nachas and hanor shein kamo. At least I personally and the entire staff of the yeshiva ain't shum suffik. That's a hint that I should stop. So I want to first welcome the alumni. I want to welcome all the alumni and really thank them very much. I'm very makir tov to the alumni. You give me not just a shot in the arm, but you give me really much more than that, a transfusion in many respects, an infusion, a transfusion, all the fusions imaginable. And Baruch Hashem, all of you in Shana Aleph and Shana Bet, you're going to also, Yitz Hashem, follow that path, the path of Darki Hashem, the path of Yad Hashem, seeing the Hashkocha in its full-blown fashion and recognizing the Koach HaTorah that will Yitz Hashem lead us, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, Be'korov, to Mashiach Tzikeinu, Meher Yameh. Thank you.